Thank you. We're joined, as usual, by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, Rhode Island.
Maureen Moakley is away this week. Filling in for her is the investigative reporter for WPRI-TV, Channel 12, Tim White. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning, Ian.
And we're pleased to welcome the new chairman of the Republican Party of Rhode Island, Mark Smiley. Thank you for joining us, Mark.
Thanks for having me.
Rhode Island teachers have ramped up their criticism of State Education Commissioner Deborah Gist, calling for her contract to not be renewed. The commissioner's supporters call her a strong advocate for education. Scott, how do you see the stakes in this fight, and how will it affect efforts to improve public education
in
Rhode Island?
It's really hard to discern what's just a labor and management joust and what's real here. I think it's kind of like baseball sometimes. She wants 3 years. Her agent wants the long-term contract, and I think that some folks maybe would say, let's compromise and give her 2 years. Now, will she accept that? I don't know. I think there's probably a middle ground here with both sides can work it out. Certainly the teachers do have some valid concerns. On the other hand, she's a change agent, and sometimes that means that you're going to frost some people, and she certainly has. However, she seems to have made some good contributions, and I think that the governor's behind her and the education board. So I expect that she'll be re-upped in some manner.
Mark, it seems like education in Rhode Island does need a change agent. So how would you see the outlook here and the stakes of this fight?
Well, I come from the quality improvement efforts within healthcare, and what I've seen over the past decade is very similar to what I see in this, is that the initial efforts weren't perfect. And that's fine. You just continue to improve the process and how you track it. So if the teachers are complaining that there's too much bureaucracy, too much red tape, then you need to apply a lean management style and figure out what is actually adding value to the project and what is not, and get rid of what is not so that you relieve the effort of those teachers. But you don't want to stop this effort at all. You want to continue on. You want to refine it. I've seen recently that Deborah Gist's effort haven't really had the effect on minorities in our area. So now she needs to go ahead and focus on what would change that and try to come up with ways to benchmark it and achieve those goals. So you don't want to stop this process.
Tim, I know you keep a close eye on public education in Rhode Island. How do you see the stakes of this fight?
Well, I look at the stakes politically as very high, especially for Governor Lincoln Chafee. And I agree with Scott. It really matters how long this contract's going to be. Chafee has already expressed support for Deborah Gist, but is it going to be a 1 or 2 year contract, or is it going to be a 3 year deal, which is going to upset labor? He needs labor if he's going to run again for governor in 2014. Obviously, the NEA, AFT, not a big fan of Commissioner Gist. And you have to keep in mind, NEA is now part of the AFL-CIO. So that means NEA, AFT together represents more than a third of the AFL-CIO, and that is Link Chafee's ground game right there. So if he gives her 1 year, 2 year, they might look more favorably, but if it's a 3 year deal, that's going to be tough.
Moderate Party founder Ken Block this week announced he'll be a candidate for governor again in 2014. After getting 6.5% of the vote in 2010, Block says he thinks he can do much better this time around. Mark, you're obviously concerned with electing a Republican governor in Rhode Island. Does Ken Block interfere or cut into the effort of your party's nominee?
I believe that he did to a certain extent in the last election. The thing I'd like to point out is a general lack of experience as being the executive of a government. Successful business owners is a pretty good indicator that you'll be able to handle that job. But there will be people in this that have actual executive experience at running a government, and I believe that's who we need to start talking about.
Tim, Ken Block is talking a big game. Do you think he can compete on a close to level field with some of the heavyweights out there who we expect to run, like Angel Tavares, Gina Raimondo, and probably Alan Fung as the Republican candidate?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it depends on what the field looks like. It appears that Ken Block has tacked to the right a little bit in recent months. If anything else, Lincoln Chafee should send Ken Block a fruit basket because Lincoln Chafee, it appears, needs a PAC ticket. He needed it in 2010. Remember, he won with 36% of the vote, so the more the merrier for him.
Scott, when we had Ken Block in here a couple of weeks ago, he disputed the idea that he was a spoiler in 2010. How do you look at that?
Well, what do you expect him to say? Let's be real here. Mr. Block is a smart guy. He's a successful business guy, but he's got no political base. And he's never been elected to anything, not even a school committee. And, you know, I hate to say this, but the Republican Party in this state too often in the past, and now Mr. Block fits this perfectly, another rookie who thinks that being governor is an entry-level job. Never elected to the state Senate, never elected town administrator, doesn't really have the kind of political knowledge that you really need to run a statewide race. And also, he's going to raise a lot of money.
To push back a little, though, Scott, hasn't Ken shown how an interested citizen can really raise the profile of issues like the master lever?
Sure, but the master lever and trying to fix a broken state's economy are two very different things.
And by the way, I do think he's going to do better, just predictions, it's early, better this time around. He needs 5% for the state to still recognize his party. He got 6%, I think, last time.
Six and a half.
I think he'd probably do better in 14.
Let's get a quick comment from Mark here on your party's expected gubernatorial candidate, Cranston Mayor Alan Fung, who says he's taking a look at a run. How do you think Alan Fung matches up against the other expected candidates?
Well, he is an experienced executive of a government, and he's a successful one. He's done well with unions. He's run the gamut. He's held his budget down. This year, there was no tax increase at all. He is doing what it is that we need to do on a statewide basis. So I really am hopeful that he will get into this race and get in soon.
Let's go around the panel with some questions for our special guest, State Republican Chairman Mark Smiley. I'll kick it off. Mark, there are only 11 Republicans in the 113-member General Assembly. Will this be your top focus moving forward in elections? And if so, how do you plan to increase those numbers?
Absolutely, it's our top focus. We're looking to attain the ability to sustain a veto and a governor's veto. Regardless who the governor is, at that point, we become part of the discussion. Right now, we're really not part of the discussion. We find out what goes on when you find out what goes on, when the Providence Journal is finding out what's going on. They just release a press release, we're going to do this. We're not part of the discussion. So we have to get to that point first, and that is the primary focus.
Let's go to Scott.
How are you recruiting candidates? So one of the problems in the past has been too many unopposed Democrats.
Correct. And we have been focusing in the past on just finding the perfect candidate. But we do just need some people to come forward and run and make sure that they don't go unopposed, because when they are unopposed, they go out and they help their friends who are opposed. So now we're getting double teamed. We need to stop that. Make everybody run. That's better for the electorate. It's better for the entire system if everybody has to run every time. So we are looking to do that.
Let's go to Tim.
If memory serves, Chairman, you expressed interest in closing off the primary, so Republicans only for the primary to vote. How important is that to you now? How hard are you going to push to close the primary?
I will not push that at all.
How come?
At this point, I think it's the right move. I think on both sides of that argument, they realize long term it's a good thing for us, but we do not have the money or the strength right now to be able to sell that message to voters. I've spoken to many voters who think that closing the primary is actually changing their rights. They don't understand how the primary system really works, and that it is not that we're going to change the independent's right to walk in and just vote any way they want to. They never really had that right in the first place. We've allowed them to do that over the years. So there's a precedent there, but we have to then be able to turn around and educate the voter that all we're really asking you to do is decide you want to be a Republican before you walk in. That's all.
We're running short on time, but one other topic in the news this week is how the state pension fund under Gina Raimondo has paid about $16 million in fees to hedge fund managers. That's on $1 billion in investments out of the state pension fund portfolio. Scott, what do you think? How does this play in the governor's race?
You know, it all depends on what the returns are. I think some people are going to question whether or not $1 billion of state pension money dumped into these hedge funds is a good idea or not. And it's kind of an esoteric kind of thing. What concerns me more is the fact that there's secrecy still surrounding just who Engage Rhode Island is and who's funding them. I think that some transparency would be a really good thing here.
Quickly, Mark Smiley, what is your reaction to this debate about the state's investment in pension funds and the level of transparency on it?
My concerns are the same as Scott's. It's the transparency issue. Reality is that if you look at the raw numbers, she didn't do so bad. I'm being told that actually her investments haven't been so bad over the last few years. So in that regard, it's good. However, at the same time, we should know what she's doing.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us on Roundtable, Scott.
Thank you.
Tim White from WPRI-TV, Channel 12.
Thanks for having me.
And Mark Smiley, the new chairman of the State Republican Party.
Thank you.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblett, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage. And if you enjoy the conversation, please visit our On Politics blog at ripr.org.